soon as that account coordinator is too busy and has other competing priorities on their plate, you're gonna find out 2 weeks or 3 weeks down the road, oh, did those new audiences get loaded? Oh no, I'm sorry, I had too much to do. Or there'll be always some reason why manual processes don't get followed when it could have been automated. And then on the skills side, have you taken the appropriate steps to either work with external partners who really know, like, what's the bleeding edge in paid social in terms of audience targeting capability? What's the bleeding edge in the programmatic space? What's the bleeding edge of, what's possible, what's desirable, what's cost effective in all these different channels you're investing in, right? And do your people have the skills, the creativity, and the experience to now bring those capabilities that you've increased maybe on the data side? Do you have the skill set to now realize the business, benefit from those, right? Get ready to deep dive into the world of digital transformation, where we explore the latest trends, innovations, and challenges shaking up industries. Join us as we decode the secrets behind successful digital strategies and hear from experts who are at the forefront of disrupting the status quo. In each episode, we'll unravel the mysteries of the digital realm and uncover the hidden opportunities that lie within. From artificial intelligence to blockchain, from automation to cybersecurity, we'll leave no digital stone unturned. But hold on tight, because this podcast isn't your average tech talk. We're injecting a hefty dose of wit and humor into every episode, making learning about digital transformation an absolute blast. So if you're ready to embrace the digital revolution with a smile on your face, tune in to the Digital Disruption Podcast and get ready to be entertained, informed, and inspired. Don't miss out on the fun. Subscribe now and join us on this wild digital journey.
Hello and good morning. How are you doing, Patrick?
Hello, good evening to you. I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm all good, it's we're recording on the weekend, and it just happens, to be it happens to be a similar I happen to see a similarity in the today's episode this episode with us being on the weekend. But let me bring people into context. So in the last episode, we went over how to calculate ROI on digital transformation projects, and we said it's not a magical number. It is definitely a number that you can calculate. Of course, it wouldn't be 100% accurate, but you will be in the ballpark. And you did raise a good question with us ending and Davis not having sufficient time to answer it, so we decided to do it on a weekend, which is funny. It's not intended, but it's funny. And we just wanna continue on this subject of not ROI by definition, but an extension to the ROI, which is kind of a last mile, and how does eventually ROI translate into just business, just business, business values, business objectives. I mean, ROI is just numbers, but if we learned anything from dealing with businesses like e-commerce, like SaaS, like anything else in the B2B and B2C markets, It's ROI is definitely a good number to have, and it's on the records, but it's eventually the business value that customers see and businesses see, and it's the thing that drives us forward and drives business forward. Because if you're having high ROI but not good, but no good business value, you're bound to fail. So I just want to tie it up, no loose ends. To how does a business conclude the whole ROI, the whole ROI entangled thingy
Sure.
into business objectives and business values?
Sure. So I would go so far as to say, I mean, that's a great introduction. I would go so far as to say is if you are reporting a strong ROI without delivering actual business value, like somebody's cooking the books or is expressing the ROI, let's say in the most generous mystifying light possible. Because really ultimately, like delivering on the ROI that you said you were going to deliver for a digital maturity project or a transformation journey. I mean, ultimately, like realizing that estimated ROI comes from being able to deliver that business value, right? Whether that's gains in efficiency or more effective media investments, better customer engagement, better digital experience, all those things, right? That ultimately, whoa, my light just popped on. I'm not sure what happened there, but hopefully I'm still showing up in a decent light here. Don't know what happened there. And you mentioned this sort of last mile problem, and I think we see this a lot. I mean, so you have the typical sort of quintessential sort of business school examples of last mile problems around, in transportation or in, delivery and distribution of goods, where sort of getting from, distribution centers or warehouses, right, getting products into the hands of individual consumers, through delivery, right, that last mile of the delivery is the least efficient on a per unit basis, right? It's the most cost intensive, most labor intensive. Similarly, like in transportation, especially public transportation, right? Getting riders, travelers, from their house or apartment to that transportation hub and home from that transportation hub, whether that's a bus stop, train station, subway line, airport, whatever, right? Again, that's on a per traveler, per rider basis. It's the most cost intensive, least efficient, right? So it's really just that last step in the d value delivery chain, is that last mile problem. And in going back to like 2017, even Bain and Company was writing about the last mile in analytics, right? And so, they're we're using this metaphor in terms of, how do you close that gap between data and analytics teams and business teams, right? How do you get from, data intensive infrastructure and projects to real business value? And, that last mile problem in that, regard is really the gap between that, right? The gap between the data teams and the business teams in a sense, right? And the variety of use cases that might be supported by analytics, broadly speaking. So in the Bain article, they really were talking not just about, web analytics or Google Analytics. They really were talking about the increasing investment in data infrastructure, analysis and insights, BI work, and big data type infrastructure. And so all of these things are expensive upfront investments as organizations kind of develop. Think the biggest thing we see is And it's a source of frustration for many organizations because they, in some ways, they develop many of the key components that are needed for a digitally mature enterprise. But then, you kind of get to the end of a quarter or you get to the end of a 6 month project, and the key stakeholders are still sort of left asking these questions of, okay, now what do we do with this information? What do we do with this infrastructure? How do we improve our marketing? How do we improve our customer experience, right? How do we actually like make business decisions? How do we automate processes? How do we take advantage of all these kind of digital maturity initiatives that we've invested in? And sometimes it's very like seemingly very small kind of components that are missing. And those end up being really crucial gaps and really like strongly characterize this last mile problem, right? So how long is a marathon? Do you, by the way, I'm not a runner, but do you know how long a marathon is, race?
No, I can Google it.
Yeah, Google that. I
How
think it's
long
26
is
miles, or maybe it's
a marathon? It is 26 mile, yeah.
26. Is it 26 or 26.2 miles, something like that?
Yeah, 26 and like almost a half.
All right, so let's say, so if you run 25 miles, you haven't run the marathon, right?
No, you still have 1 mile to go.
Still have 1 mile to go. I think we see that in digital transformation a lot. It's like I'll give you just a couple examples. Is if you create a really sophisticated cloud-based data warehouse, and you have the ability to do all kinds of data-driven segmentation, clustering your customer data to, identify different sort of natural cohorts of potential like you buyer intent and estimated lifetime value. Or if you take your analytics data and you segment it into propensity scores, likelihood to complete certain kinds of actions on your website or in your app, you've got a lot of really interesting information at your hands. You could present it in, you could visualize the clusters, and you can develop a really good digital storytelling, and you can assign personas to those clusters. You can do all kinds of really cool things that would excite lots of C-level people, and they might be impressed with your work. But at the end of the day, you want to do something with that data, right? And so this is where the last mile comes in, right? So now, what do you need if you do all that clustering, all that really great analysis and insights work, statistics-based, data science work, and now you have all these audiences. You've even got first-party identifiers, associated with those audiences. I mean, you have it all, except for if nobody on your team knows how to ingest that data into your media platforms, into your customer engagement tools, into your CDP potentially. There's nothing you can actually do with that data without completing the pipelines. Right? So, if, and it seems it's not like rocket science in the sense of most media, most enterprise-worthy media platforms today can ingest first-party data, and customer engagement tools and CDPs can ingest that data via APIs or other, connection methods. And so, the question would be, are you going to like download a CSV file every week and, ask an account coordinator to manually load a file of, 25 different audience segments, or are you going to do the work? And if you were sophisticated enough to do all of the cluster analysis and data science work, you also are sophisticated enough to automate the pipelines, use the APIs that are available, the data connectors that are available, and to load that data on a regular cadence into those platforms. And you can use triggered you can use various kinds of triggers that will automatically update that data whenever a new file is generated. All that can be automated, right? So that's what I'm talking about, is we oftentimes will kind of step into situations where organizations tell us, like, hey, we're doing all this really sophisticated stuff. And it's like, okay, great. That's awesome. What are you doing with it? That's where we're stuck. We don't know what, we generate reports. Oh, is that changing your business? No, not really, right? So the last mile here that we're interested in is getting to tangible, measurable business value. And so it's always imperative to do that work of closing that gap between the foundational work you did to facilitate the use cases that you identified at the start of the process, right? You said, I want to be able to deliver better personalization to my customers and better recommendations in an automated way based on their browsing behavior, and I want to be able to fine-tune what messaging I send to my customers based on their preferences, and I want to optimize the cadence at which I send engagement messages and the frequency and the types of offers and all that. I want to understand who my top performing customers are, my least performing. I want to know who has a high propensity to convert. And I want to target them differently. I want to use different media strategies with those people. I'm trying to prepare for the cookieless future, so I need robust first party strategy, right? So now you need to build into these projects those sort of pipelines and processes that that will close that gap between the foundation work and the business value. And I mean, just to harp on our kind of like our four pillars that we talk about, that gap can be in terms of any of those four pillars. That gap between the work and the value, it could be at the level of technology. So maybe you do need some kind of a system to manage API connections and data connections in order to do it in an automated way that's efficient, right? So maybe you do need a tool for that. Maybe you are using an outdated customer engagement platform or an outdated media buying process. So maybe that is part of the upgrade there, right? You might have missed something in your data infrastructure too, right? So and hopefully if you go through the full process of digital transformation, you'll identify those gaps. But so you might have some fundamental foundational flaw that needs to be addressed. But assuming you don't, you may still have, like maybe that gap at the data infrastructure level is just at the level of like the pipelines and the automations, right? It's getting from, expecting business users to manually upload things to automating that process for them and do it in sort of close to real time, right? Or, daily, weekly, whatever the right cadence is. Maybe it's upgrading to, cloud-based infrastructure that's more cost-effective and scalable. On the process side, again, the sort of manually loading first-party audiences versus automating that would be a big process piece that, most manual processes like that are not scalable. As soon as that account coordinator is too busy and has other competing priorities on their plate, you're going to find out 2 weeks or 3 weeks down the road, oh, did those new audiences get loaded? Oh no, I'm sorry, I had too much to do. Or there'll be always some reason why manual processes don't get followed when it could have been automated. And then on the skills side, have you taken the appropriate steps to either work with external partners who really know, like, what's the bleeding edge in paid social in terms of audience targeting capability? What's the bleeding edge in the programmatic space? What's the bleeding edge of, what's possible, what's desirable, what's cost effective in all these different channels you're investing in, right? And do your people have the skills, the creativity, and the experience to now bring those capabilities that you've increased maybe on the data side? Do you have the skill set to now realize the business, benefit from those, right? So it's always about, closing that gap. It's, I mean, even at the, and if we even take it a step back, it's like we've often see really robust measurement plans for Google Analytics, or Adobe Analytics, any analytics platform for that matter. So we're capturing a lot of user data, custom events, all kinds of metadata about those events, e-commerce data, lead forms, content engagement, everything we might think we need. And then you see just sort of a set of reports generated. And everybody's supposed to sort of like look at the reports, and the business is going to magically change because we look at reports. But there's no business questions being asked. There's no actual analysis work happening. There's no digital storytelling, generating insights, looking at the data, generating hypotheses, right? Like digging in, tying the data in your analytics to actually, going through the website, going through the app, calling your own call center, right? Like getting on your customer's chat, right? Acting like a customer, trying to go through the process of buying a product or service, right? As an analyst, right? And then actually say, okay, here's what the data says, and here's the actual qualitative experience that goes along with that. Here's what our customers, qualitative surveys data says, right? Like tying all this data together and drawing insights, right? Even that. So there's a there, like even taking a, back a step between, automating audience pipelines and that, there's even that gap between having data at your disposal and doing real analysis and insights work and generating business insights to say, hey, this is a key section of our site that 80% of our visitors get to, right? And there's this massive drop off at this key point. I've gone through this experience several times on both desktop, mobile, and app. Here's a lot of friction. And because this is such a huge percentage of our users, change, improving this by 10% will have this much impact on our business, right? Being able to start telling stories like that, right? Now test this out, right? Even that is also closing that last mile gap. So you can kind of look at any of the different places that your digital maturity, digital transformation initiatives, where you expect them to bring value. And you can ask yourself what that gap is, that last mile. What's that last mile to achieving the value you wanted to get, right? So it really starts all the way back at that level of, generating the insights, in a way that naturally leads to being able to take action, right? Versus just, here's a report, look at it. Conversion rate was 5% last month. Wow. Right.
Horror story.
That's so I think there's a lot of different ways that that last mile problem plays out in our industry. I know I just been sort of rambling here for a few minutes. I guess
I
I want
mean,
to take it back to a conversation with you.
I mean, to be honest, like you have been pointing out horror stories as we spoke, you know, like the things that, you know, whenever a company gets too big, and even in smaller companies, people try to automate everything and they miss crucial points. And I think this missing crucial points, what makes or breaks the last mile, because yes, you can, you know, there is this like the sweet spot between automating everything and doing everything manually that I think companies are still struggling to find. And it is a big part of digital transformation, as I think, you know, like we need to work, as we said in the ROI episode, we want to work on the efficiency and the effectiveness and whatever initiatives that we're doing. But at the same time, the way you look at it,
That's right.
addressing how and what should be done is actually the real challenge here. I mean, especially in last mile, because what should be operate like what should be automated and what shouldn't be automated? Where does, you know, where does the leak happen? Like, and to do a leak test, usually in anything, you pressure test. I wonder how can you pressure test a flow, a sequence, a initiative, an ROI, like not an ROI, like a digital transformation initiatives. How can you pressure test something like this? Like we finished in like scanning, hypositing, we finished the manifesto for a new groundbreaking, you know, initiative. And then, you know, is there a way to pressure test it before it hits public? Or how do you approach something like this? How do you approach the concept of pressure testing, and especially in something that is very, very, very crucial, like last mile, which is very tricky. I think
I think
this.
there's two ways. Yeah, that's a really good question. I think that idea of a pressure test is really a nice image. I know of two ways that are really appropriate from my perspective. Like one is just viability, right? So if you did your due diligence up front and you have an actual use case that you're trying to support, then the first pressure test is like, can we do what we actually set out to do, right? Like we created this amazing data infrastructure. We have all this amazing like CRM and commerce data in our data warehouse. Our data science team did a whole bunch of really killer, cluster, analysis, came up with these data-driven segmentations and propensity analysis, all these things. And now we have these audiences. Can we do with those audiences what we said we wanted to do, which was target and suppress across our media channels, use them for data partnerships, in a clean room type setting or with like publisher addressable media? Can you do those things? That would be my first pressure test. Like, whether it's a technical gap, a knowledge gap, whatever it is, but are like if the CMO said today, here's $50,000 to test out all those things that you said you wanted to do with this data, could you start the process and do it, right? That'd be my first thing. Let's assume you pass that, then the second part of that would be, so viability would be part one, scalability would be part two. Because then if you start telling me, well, how are we going to do this? Well, the way we're going to do it is, Joe is going to load 100 audience files weekly, after they end up in Joe's inbox as, CSV files, right? And so he's going to manually load those and validate that they loaded. That's going to be our process, right? I'd say, okay, that's okay for a week or two, right? That's not scalable. So those would be the two ways I would pressure test that. Yeah. And so I think the big way to avoid it kind of depends on what point in the process you're kind of intervening, right? If you've kind of designed the digital maturity initiatives, digital transformation initiatives sort of from start to finish, ground up, hopefully you've kept those use cases top of mind all along the way. But oftentimes, if you're kind of stepping in midstream, right? A lot of times organizations aren't going to like retool all of their tech data and processes, right? So we're trying to address specific gaps. And so if you're kind of stepping into the middle there, I think that's where you kind of have to see the level of, what is the, how big is that gap? Maybe it's the last 5 miles. Maybe it's not just the last mile problem, but you kind of have to get your hand around, or is it a 5 degree slope you're running up for the last mile, or is it a 30 degree slope, right? It's but it's I mean it's for me, those are the two big pieces of it. Just straight up viability. Can you do what you said you wanted to do, what you promised when you got approval for the project? Can you fulfill that brief? And then can it be, is it actually scalable, manageable, cost effective, efficient, et cetera, right? And it's not just automation, right? It's there's all there's other that was like that's just like one example. I think it's also just in some cases there's a missing connection somewhere, right? Like you got all the data successfully into your data warehouse. You have a composable CDP layer on top of that that's performing the audience segmentation functions, creating these lists. Maybe you're just, maybe you just somebody fumbled and didn't create those data connections to get that data back out to customer engagement channels, media platforms, whatever the endpoint is that's needed for that data. So it can be simple in some way, in some sometimes it's just a very simple switch or connector that's really the answer to that question is like, can this be done or not be done? Right. It's and I think you said this early on in our conversation today, which is like sometimes it's just small, like a small component of a set of requirements that's just not in place or got missed or somebody wasn't aware. I mean, I'll give you an example within the CRM context, right? There was an integration between Salesforce Marketing Cloud and Google Analytics. So in the Universal Analytics context, GA36, in GA360, you can also do this with GA4 now, but in order to use that GA audience data in Salesforce, you have to have Salesforce's analytics connector, which is a SKU. It's not a really expensive SKU, but you have to enable that. And that's a Salesforce. It's not a Google Analytics feature, but it's it has a cost. It's, I don't know, $20,000 or $25,000 a year. So you have to be using Journey Builder. You have to have that connector enabled, and you have to pay Salesforce for that connector, right? So even if you go through all the other steps of the process and again, do a whole bunch of cool audiences in GA4, you're expecting to use them in Salesforce Marketing Cloud. Hopefully, your Salesforce sales rep, consultant has sales consultant has told you that you need to do this, and if you haven't done it, then nothing else is going to, work in that regard until you do that, right? It's just like they're going to go back into your license, and probably it's a checkbox, that you paid for that SKU or whatever, and then that functionality will be enabled. But you got to do it, right? So.
You gotta do what you gotta do.
Exactly. So, or if you as people are migrating more and more to server-side tagging and things like that, right? If once you do the proof of concept, let's talk, I mean, in the GTM Google Tag Manager context, if you create a server side, a tagging server and all these things. It's, if you kind of go with the default automated setup, it's going to be in kind of a test environment with very limited server capacity when you first set that up. So if you actually are going to use this in production and want robust data capture, you better go through the recommended steps of increasing, like setting up dynamic server capacity in order to handle the hit volume you expect. And if you're a e-commerce retailer, your peak capacity better align with your, Black Friday, Cyber Monday, site traffic needs. And,
True.
so you have to just think those things through. The server-side tagging will work whether you do that or not, but you're going to be missing hits in your data collection if you don't have the server capacity to handle that, right? So it's just, again, it's not rocket science. It's kind of a key step that you need for the solution to be robust and trustworthy, right? So, yeah.
I guess, I mean, I think that's all the time that we have, but I don't think we missed something. I feel like we gave the solution and pressure tested it.
I think one of the things we could do is this just I'm thinking of this on the fly actually, but I think in some upcoming episodes, I think we could have a little recurring theme. It may not maybe not even the full episode, but like the latest last mile example, of real examples of, closing the gap between a technical or data implementation and then here's how we got the value out of it, right? Just we
Yeah, I
can
mean,
illustrate. Yeah.
our audience, I think, would love it.
Cool.
Let's put it in our pipeline and set it in motion.
Yeah.
It might be in like not in the direct episode after this one, but it will be, I think, like a recurring theme. Maybe we can edit other episodes and add it to it. Like, we'll think about it, but I think we need to run.
All right.
I think we covered everything, as I said, that we wanted to cover. So I guess we'll see you guys in next episode. And if anyone has any questions, please shoot it at us. We are looking for Q&As. We're looking for questions from the people, for the people. So if you have any questions, reach out to Patrick, reach out to me, reach out to the page directly on LinkedIn. You can do that now. And let's take the conversation from there. Until then, thank you, Patrick, for joining me, and I'll see you next time.
Sounds good, my friend. Take
Bye
care.
bye.
Bye. And that's a wrap for this episode of the Digital Disruption Podcast. We hope you enjoyed our deep dive into the world of digital transformation and gained valuable insights to help navigate the ever-changing landscape. If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions for future episodes, we'd love to hear from you. You can reach us on our website, esens.com, or connect with us on social media. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast and stay tuned for more exciting discussions on the forefront of digital innovation. Remember, the future is now, and it's time to embrace the power of transformation. Thanks for listening, and until next time.